for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, July the 2nd, 2015. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on How Much Faith Does It Take?
Oh, glory to God. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for this camp. We thank you for every soul that's here or that's coming, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us tonight.
Yeah.
And you would touch every heart. And you would fill the hungry tonight, Lord. Satisfy the thirsty, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, let only your words, Lord, come forth. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about how much faith does it take. How much faith does it take? And I was talking to Brother Merrill before, a little earlier. We were talking about faith, and he said those almost exact words. Praise God, but how much faith does it take? Now, let me say this. We're not all at the same level in our walk with God, are we?
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not. And we're probably not all at the same level in our faith. Now, if the Lord came, or we passed on or whatever, is because some are not as far advanced in their faith as others, does that mean that they wouldn't go to be with the Lord? Well, let me ask you about faith. Is there a certain level on some kind of faith meter that we have to come to before He will answer our prayer? How much faith does it take? And sometimes we look at other people and we think, wow, they have a lot of faith. I don't have that much faith in you, so you feel hopeless, perhaps. Or you need to get in touch with someone that has a lot of faith. And some of that is so, but faith comes in three different ways. The scripture says that God has given every man or woman or child a measure of faith. Mm-hmm. We would have to have that or we couldn't be saved. And then the scripture tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is faith. It's one of the nine that are listed there, faith. And then it tells us that there is a supernatural gift of faith in 1 John 14, a gift of faith. And if we want to say, if you're talking about levels, if you could ever find that in the Word, there are three levels there. The faith that everyone has, the ability to believe God. And now all faith comes from God. You have to understand that. And in some places it says the faith of God. And for instance, in Galatians 2:20, when he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but the Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So faith comes from God. So if there was a level, though, we'd probably say that is the first level. And then the next level would be the fruit of the Spirit. And then the next level would be that supernatural faith. I don't know how much faith you walk in. I would think that all of us in here would like to walk in more faith than we walk in. Because certainly faith is what gets us what we need, right? And starting with salvation. Faith is so important for everything. And I thank God for whoever and everyone that's praying for me right now. And I acknowledge that in the name of Jesus. Now, Hebrews 11:1, called the faith chapter. And verse 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is the only scripture you'll find in the Bible that attempts to define the qualities and the power of faith. It's the only one you'll find. Now, we do have in the scripture many picture, if you want to say picture definitions in the scriptures, where it is just shown to us by the faith of people and how that faith operates, faith or not having faith. Now we read it, our faith, how important is our faith? The scripture says, 1 Peter 1:7, it is more precious than gold that perishes. I don't care how much money you've got in the bank, nothing is more valuable than your faith. You could have $1 million, but if you had faith, it could get you more than what $1 million would. You understand that? You could have the highest education possible and graduate the highest honors, and that may or may not get you something, but faith would get you more. You could have the best doctor that on earth or that money could buy. And just to be honest, the amount of money you have does have a bearing on who your doctor is. You know that. And it has a bearing on the kind of care you get. But faith in the name of Jesus can do more for you than the best doctor that you could find on the face of this earth.
Amen.
So we need to understand tonight the most precious thing we have is faith in God. In fact, Jesus said, have faith in God. Mm-hmm. Now, faith, this scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Meaning it's the ground, it's the basis, the foundation, the support, the confidence of things we have hoped for. Now, so we can say that faith is the ground, it's the basis, the foundation, the support, the confidence of things that we hope to see come to pass. It is the foundation for it. Faith is like the gas that makes it possible for your car to roll down the road. If you don't have gas, you're not going anywhere. Is that right? Or fuel, whatever fuel you put in your vehicle. And faith is the same thing when it comes to our relationship with God, our walk with God, our getting what we need from God. Faith. Now faith, he said, the scripture says, now faith is the evidence of things not seen. Meaning it's the proof, it's the means of proving. It's the vindication or the defense for what we have believed, but we cannot see. You know, in my life, I'm sure in your life too, God speaks to us and he shows us things, tells us things, and directs us. And so we in faith, we begin to obey God. And then here comes along the faith busters. You know what I'm talking about? The faith busters. Have you learned not to tell everybody what God's shown you? They'll rain on your parade. They'll throw a wet blanket on your faith. Now, choosing to believe, and I want to say choosing to believe because faith is a choice. Just like love is a choice, hate is a choice. So I couldn't help myself. Oh, yes, you can. That's no excuse. But faith is a choice. That's why we're held responsible for whether or not we have faith. That's why later on in verse 6 it says, without faith it's impossible to believe to please God. Without faith, it's impossible. Now, God's not going to demand anything of any of us that we cannot do. It's a choice. We make a choice. I want to give you an example. Years ago, when my children were just, and we had foster children, and they were just getting their driver's license and starting to, you know, get some wings and branch out a little bit. And one night, one of my sons didn't come home when he should have come home. Well, I'm just about to have a, you know, fit of some kind. I wasn't angry, but you know the little videos the devil plays in your head? And I could just see him upside down in the creek somewhere or whatever. And so I couldn't stand any longer. Now, that's before cell phones, so you've got to understand that. There was a day before cell phones. Some of you might not know, but there was a day before microwaves. Okay? Some of you that have grown up with all this did this. There was a day before computers. There was a day before gas pushed more. My dad was the first one on the block in Dallas there to get one. Little 18-inch, 2-horsepower Tecumseh engine, I believe is what it, I think it's a Tecumseh. And you wouldn't believe the neighbors flocking around to see that thing. Of course, my dad's chest was stuck out there real far. But, and it was a forerunner of a riding mower. Some of you people need to get rid of your riding mower and start walking behind that thing. Is that right? The other day I ordered, some of you not going to know what this is. Did you know there's a mower that doesn't have a motor on it? Did some of you know that there actually is? I know I pushed one enough. A real mower. R-E-E-L mower. And it has blades and they turn as you push the wonderful thing. And I ordered one because I'm prepping, I'm getting ready. When there's no gas, we're still going to have our lawn mowed. And the rest of them are not going to have theirs. Isn't that so? Just call me Mr. Wise. No, I feel impressed to have one. A lot of things. I'm not going to go with all that. But anyway, it's a choice. So I'm going to go get my truck. I can't stand any longer. I'm going to go looking for him. And so I get out about to my truck, and the Lord speaks to me and says, why don't you just believe me? Why don't you just believe me? Go back in the house and sit down and believe me. And so I did. I went in, I sat down, it was a choice. And I went in, sat down, and believed. Now, I'm not saying I wasn't still about to have a nervous breakdown, you know, or scared, but I went in and sat down, and it wasn't a little while here to come. I wouldn't have found them if I went looking for them, probably. I might have felt, I might have got more upset if I was out there looking scared and afraid and frightened. But it's a choice. And there's never going to be a time in your life that when a situation comes that you need faith, there's never going to come a time that you can't have faith. How much faith? Well, that's the question. How much faith do we need? Now, choosing to believe or to stand in faith. Stand in faith. Stand in faith. Praise God. Praise God. Stand. Now, in God and in His Word. Now, there's two. How does God's Word come? It comes through the written Word, the Logos. But it also comes through the rhema or the spoken word when God speaks to you. Now, some people don't believe that God still speaks to us. But I know He does. He speaks to me all the time. God is a talker. God likes to talk. If we'll open up, listen, I'm amazed that some people say, I've never heard the voice of God. Really? I really believe you have. You just weren't paying attention or you weren't listening. Okay, so now, choosing to believe is the substance or the evidence, and it's equal to having what we ask for. That's very important. It's equal to having what we ask for. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know how many of you ever read Reese Howe, Intercessor. But he built the Bible School of Wells. Reinhard Bonnke went to that Bible school. Now, Bonnke is not a spirit-filled like we think of. Reinhard Bonnke speaks in tongues. And some ask, how can you go there? You know, he says, well, he's German. He says, well, I just speak in tongues. They think I'm speaking German, you know. But anyway, Reese Howe and his wife were going to go to India. They gave up their only son to go to India. Then you couldn't take your children with you, basically. They gave their son up. Is that book over there? Okay, it's over there. Get that book. I've read it 5 or 6 times myself. And I know where to go when I need that part of it. So they're going to go to Africa, and they're on their way. Now, at that time, he had a principle, and he always did in his life, like George Mueller. He refused to ask anyone for anything. One time, there's a minister over a function in our denomination, and that's all he ever talked about, money, money, money. And I sent him a copy of that book and told him to read it. But I don't know if he did, but he didn't change. But anyway, he refused to tell anybody what he needed. Just God, only God. You know what? If you do that, instead of going around whining to everybody, you know, I'm not asking for money, but I'm just telling you about it. Oh, yes, you are. But so he, now, he wouldn't ask. And that way, when the answer comes, you know God sent it, not you figuring out how to do something or sending out your letters or all this kind of thing. I've tried to be very careful about that. I send out an email 5 days a week, and I've tried to be very careful about that. And so, you know what? God just pours it on. He just blesses. So he didn't believe in that. So he's going there. And in England, you could go from one station to the next and you buy your ticket at every station. Well, they only had enough to get so far. And they finally got to the one, called Standing in the Quay. I hope I'm pronouncing that word right. But, so he gets there and he doesn't have the money to buy the ticket now. And every station, people are seeing them off. They're seeing them off. Now, he didn't start off with all these people coming to see him off. He started off very humbly, and as he obeyed God, God, you know, raised him up. And so he said, God, what am I going to do? He said, well, what would you do if you had the money? He said, I'd be standing in line. He said, well, get in line. Get in line. Well, he's standing in line, and the line's getting closer and closer. I mean, he's getting closer and closer to that ticket man there. He's one person away from that, and he doesn't have the money. And the devil's yelling at him, you're going to be embarrassed, you're going to be embarrassed, you're going to bring a reproach on God, and all this is going on. And the Lord spoke to him and said that my promises are worth current coin. Do you understand that? Think about it. My promises are worth current coin. In other words, my promises are worth whatever you need. They're equal to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And my promises and faith in me is worth whatever it is you're hoping for. It's the same as having it in your hand. He's standing in line. He doesn't have it in his pocket or his credit card, which didn't have it. But he's standing there, but he said, faith is worth whatever you're needing. He's one away, and the devil's screaming at him. You know, when we were building our new church, we did it as we had money. And we poured the foundation, sat there so long, grass grew up around, kids were roller skating on the slab, you know. Finally, we got, it's a long story, good story, but can't do that tonight. And so the builder came, we had a contractor going to frame it in, we was going to do the rest. And he built the stairs first, because that's the lumber he had for it. Everybody going by looking at those stairs. And you know what the devil's yelling at me? Yeah. The man that builds a tire sits down first and counts to see if he has enough to finish it. You didn't do that. That's the stuff he tells you all the time. Well, he's one person away. Don't you want to know what happens? Yeah, I know you do. So he's one person away. And somebody steps out of the line and says, I got to go open my shop right now, and shoves some money in his hand, and it's enough to pay for it. What a test. What a test. And most of us would have never gotten a line. Is that right?
Sure.
Would have got mad at God and said, God, this ain't working. I'm going home. You don't love me. Or something like that. You know how we do. Act like a spoiled child. Well, after he gets through and he's got his ticket, then all these people in that crowd come and starts giving him money. But God would not let them give to help buy that ticket until they pass that test. God, why? And I'm going to tell you, God's never late. He's never late, even if you're talking. Look at this. Lazarus, the Lord purposely let that man die. Die. You hear me? He let that man die. Said he waited. He waited till he's dead. Then he went. And he gets there and they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And the crowd would say, he's the man who opens blind eyes. If he'd have been here, that's hard to. I'm telling you, when God is directing your path and you're standing in faith, you're going to have these faith busters come along. Okay? You cannot listen to them. If you know you heard from God, better know you heard. But you heard from God. And I need to say this, if it doesn't happen, he said, and later on in this chapter, he said, these died in the faith not having received the promises. God's made a lot of promises to me concerning the church I pastor and to me personally. But I had to come to the place where I said, Lord, if I never see it, I'm going to die believing you. We have to. You don't want to go out of here in unbelief, do you? It's God. God said it. I didn't say it. He has to do it. Now, here's another thing. When it's not happening, you know what the devil's going to tell you? Well, look here. You remember what you did? Yeah. And he's got plenty to pick on there. You know, I mean, he's got his list out, and it's true. You're not worthy now in all this. Praise God. Now, in Matthew 21:19, and when Jesus saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. He was hungry, and he said to it, let no fruit grow on you henceforth forevermore. And presently the fig tree withered away. The scripture says it withered from its roots up. How many of you know if you trees or bushes or anything, they start dying at the top and work their way down? I know we have had so much rain where we live in East Texas that I lost almost every plum tree. I mean, it couldn't take it. And but they just start in the green, you know. You know you can tell if it's alive. You scratch it with something, see if it's still green. But it withered from the root up, like overnight. Okay. And so, and I need to say this because some say, well, that's a mean thing for Jesus to do. Wait a minute. He created that tree. He created you and me. He can do what he wants to with his creation. Because I guarantee if you made something, you didn't like it and want to wad it up and throw it in the trash, you know, it's okay. But when God, who created us, wants to do this or that, oh, wait a minute, no, that's not fair. Isn't that kind of hypocritical? And the disciples saw it and they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, if you have faith, now, he doesn't say how much faith. That's what we're talking about now. If you have faith and doubt not, you shall say not only. When he says doubt not, does that mean you're never going to have a doubt come? No, it doesn't mean that. They're going to come. But you have, and I have to make a decision, a choice. I'm not going to listen to the doubts. I'm not going to listen to them. You can listen or not listen. And so, I believe the power of the Holy Ghost to help you there. He'll help you there, praise God. Rise up within you. And doubt not, you shall say not only to, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be you removed, and be you cast in the sea, it shall be done. Now, all of our dealing with what we hope for is not praying. Some of it we need to speak. There's a time to speak. And speak things into existence. You know, God spoke the worlds into existence. It's like this. God thought it. Jesus spoke it. The Son spoke it. The Holy Spirit did it. He brooded over the waters, you know. Now, so we speak. There's a time to come out of the prayer closet and start talking to things and speaking to things. But in faith, I hear a lot of people speak to things. And they might as well just be brushing their teeth or something, because ain't nothing coming out of that, because it's not backed up by anything. Well, I heard someone. I heard somebody say, "We're supposed to, I'm going to go out and speak, but if you don't, it's like the seven sons of Sceva. You better have something to back up what you're saying and what you're doing, or the devil's going to beat you up and embarrass you, run out of the house naked, bleeding. Now, be you removed and cast to sea, it shall be done. In all things whatsoever you shall ask, we have speaking and asking in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Mark 11:24, I know there's some people here tonight that need to receive some things. You're here because you need to receive. This week you need to receive. And there'll be many opportunities for you to receive. It starts 6 o'clock in the morning, all right? You come, you're going to get help in the morning. Praise God. Now, Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whosoever, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. But look, don't be putting time limits on it. We already talked about that. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And so as far as they're concerned, it's over with. And we draw these lines in the sand. If it goes past this, it's over with. But it's not so with God. God will go past the line. God can go past death. God can go past anything. But we draw these lines. We do it. And we need to stop doing it. God will be on time. He'll always be on time. He's a righteous, holy God. He loves you more than you love yourself. And you that are praying for your children, your lost children, or your sick children, or sick wife, or whatever, he loves them more than you do. Praise God. Now, James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, is the temptation going to come to waver? Well, yes, it is. I mean, that's the way the whole thing works. This is like this. Thoughts are going to, and we had a deliverance meeting on Tuesday night. And there was a man that came and his son. And I had compassion for them. They're very hurt, very wounded. And he said, the father said, well, I've got these abominable thoughts that are coming to my mind. And you can tell it's troubling him. But I said to the man, I said, you know what? We can't always help the thoughts that come into our mind. The thoughts will come, the devil will tell you. Doubts will come, the devil will tell you that's you. But you don't have to accept it as yours. Said, no, devil, that's not mine. And I refuse to accept it. Are you hearing what I say? I refuse to accept it as mine. You can be praying and curse words will come in your mind. Dirty pictures will come in your mind. Oh, I hate to tell this. When I was a teenager, how many know what a drive-in movie is? All right, some of you never, that's another thing. Well, there was one not far from us. They started showing X-rated movies. Well, we're going to be sanctified. We wasn't going to go down in there, but we went up on the hill and watched it. Well, you know, you can ask God to forgive you and you can do all that and repent, but guess what's stuck in your mind? And it took a long time for God to remove that. And but these things have come. You didn't go look at anything, you didn't watch anything, but there it is. But you cannot, you say, no, devil, that's not my fault. And I refuse to receive it. You have to stand in the face of doubt. When everything is falling apart and everybody's leaving you, everybody thinks you're crazy, they're making fun of you, whatever. When the banker calls you, that's hard with the banker. I've had that happen. I've been doing business there for about 37 years. And the banker called, Brother Pinson, can you do something about this overdraft here? The church over, can you do something about this? And it's embarrassing. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever happened to. Praise God. You know, well, and here's the thing. Well, if this church is of God, why are you overdrawn? Well, I don't know why. I'll tell you, yes, I do. We didn't have enough money. That's why. Praise God. Glory to God. But you know what? I'm willing to be embarrassed for the Lord. I am. Praise God. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavers. Something I just need to quit and go on here. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I don't want to be that way. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Now, I was saying earlier that that's the only definition, Hebrews 11:1, of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But the Word of God from the front to the back gives us pictures of faith and what it is and how it works. And I want to bring some to you here. Mark 5:25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. Because you know what? There's no money in curing. How many know that? And was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And I'm not saying that the doctor wasn't trying to help her. They couldn't help her. Because they're not God. I'm amazed at what the doctor said. Well, okay. You know, the doctor said. The doctor's not God. The doctor said, I'm going to die in 2 weeks. Well, okay, that's good. You know, he's an educated man. Well, what did God say? What did God say? Did you even ask God what he said? What he has to say about it? You run to the doctor, you run to the banker, you run to your mama, you run to somebody, and they tell you, you'll believe them before you believe God.
That's true.
Well, now, when she heard of Jesus, now this is important. She heard. You've got to hear. So Scripture says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Right? That's Romans 10, 17. It also says that how will they hear without a preacher? And how can they be saved without one? Saved is more than just being converted, but saved from your sickness or whatever it is. And when she heard, thank God that somebody talked about it. You know, a preacher, if you go tell what God's done for you, that makes you a preacher. And you tell him, and she heard because somebody told what he was doing. And she heard. When you hear, what is your reaction? What is your reaction? I have a friend, a good friend. I grew up with him. When he was young, he went to this church, and the preacher said, if you'll give to God, he'll give back to you. You know, and he was really working that thing. And so he gave his, he had bought an engagement ring. And so he puts that engagement ring in the offering because he's going to give back more. This is a good investment, you know. Watch out for people who want to invest your money. And so he put it in, and he didn't get any more. In fact, he didn't have an engagement ring. And he was mad at God. And he'd be mad at himself, and that preacher's who he needs to be mad at. This ain't no investment thing, folks. It is, but it isn't. Amen? Well, for she said, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, we know she touched the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That's what she said. What do you say? What if I can just get the house of God? If I can just touch God? She said, if I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. That is faith, folks. We're talking about pictures of faith. That is faith. She's a nobody. She's a sick woman. She's broke. She probably did some bad things. She probably told a few lies and stole some stuff. I don't know. And straightway the fountain, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, do you always feel it immediately? I believe probably more times than not, I've read a lot of Smith Wigglesworth, the books on Smith Wigglesworth. Y'all know who he is. His books over there. And he would pray for people and tell them to go home and they'd be healed. They'd go home, they walked out of there just like they walked in, sick as they ever were. The next night they'd be there shouting and praising God because God healed them. So you don't always feel it right then. And we're not going by feelings. We're going by faith, right?
Amen.
And so and Jesus immediately knowing himself that virtue, that word means power, Holy Ghost power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the presence and said, who touched my clothes? How many of you know that a cloth is not a conductor of electricity? But there's a force here greater than electricity that went through him, through his clothes, and healed that woman. It is the principle of laying on the hands. Whether you lay hands on the man of God or he lays hands on you or the woman of God. And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you. Why are you saying who touched me? All these people are touching me. But somebody touched him in faith. And I do believe when you touch him in faith, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. And then you can begin to praise him and thank him until you see the manifestation of it. Hers was immediate. But it's not always. There's some, for a while, I remember way back there, said if you pray twice for some, the second time you prayed in unbelief. Because Jesus, he was dealing with one man that was blind, and the man came back, well, how is he? He said, well, I see men walking around that look like trees. He prayed for them again. And what about the widow woman? She kept going back and going back and going back, and the man said, I'm not going to give it to her, I don't have to. But finally he got tired of her coming, he said, she's wearing me, so I'm going to give it to her. Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge says. We've got a lot of unjust judges right now, don't we? I don't need to say any more, do I? Okay. Now, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Now how? She said, if I may but touch his clothes or the hem of his garment. Matthew 14:35, and when the men of that place had knowledge of Jesus, see, faith comes by hearing. Somebody told it. They had knowledge. And so they sent out into all that country round about and brought to Jesus all that were diseased and sought Jesus that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. That's faith, isn't it? Faith, praise God.
Yes.
B.H. Clendon, one time he told when he hadn't been saved long and is excited about God, and he heard on the radio that there was an evangelist with a tent, and he was having meetings and said, come see the sick, heal the lame, walk the blind, see. So he and his wife got, and their little kids, his little dad, got in the car and drove for a long ways and got there early, sat on the front seats. And the minister came down and said, well, what are you here for? You heard? He said, I want to see those blind people see. I want those deaf people hear. He said, well, brother, we're hoping that'll happen. You know, what was that? That was just an advertisement is what it was. Praise God. Can I tell this? Got too much to tell. I'm sorry. When I was young, I was trying to make, that's where I could hear God maybe. You know you have to learn God's voice. You understand that. Don't get discouraged. And the more you obey what he tells you, the more he tells you, and the clearer it gets. And so I was very torn about things. I was about making a decision in ministry, where I was going to pastor. And so I heard on the radio, you know, and hear a lot of things on the radio. Now you see on TV. But over in Oak Cliff area, Dallas, and there's a big meeting and come, and you get a word from God. So I went over there, and I got there a little late. That thing was huge. That place was huge, and it was packed. I mean, it was packed to the gills. It's full. And so I walked in there, and he starts, and the preacher's up there. I thought he was preaching, but I found out later he was taking an offering. But he said, if you've got, God's got a word for you, and I think he started at $500. God's got a word for you if you've got $500. So he got through it all. Nobody else had, I mean, come on, anybody, you know, got through it. I mean, old Lord's a little bit. Worked his all for an hour and a half. He finally got down to $5. And you hand him the money. You ain't getting nothing. You hand the money. And then he said, well, if there's anybody here that doesn't have any money, God's got a word for you. So I wasn't going to give him a dime for that. But so I stood it, come on, gave me a word, and none of it ever happened. None of it ever happened. Wasted my time going over there. Well, in Mark 7:24, somebody needs to hear that too. Running around here and there. And from there, and you know what? And if you did get a word, you didn't agree with it. You're going to filter it through what you want to hear. And from there, Jesus arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. He could not be hid. For a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. There he is again, heard. See, we need to be telling this if you got anything to tell. Besides whining and complaining. And so he could not be hid for a certain woman, and she heard, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. She's not even, you know, she's not even a child of God. She's not even a saint. She's not. She's outside. And so a Syrophoenician by a nation, and she sought Jesus that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. See, I'm reading some of these, and I wanted to give these because it covers everything. Whether you need deliverance, whether you need healing, whether you need finances, whatever. And faith. Don't come in here in the morning if you don't have faith. Come believe it, praise God. Come to every service believing. And so, when Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know healing is the children's bread. Remind God of that. You can remind God of his word. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. Now, we need to come to God with words. Scripture says that. Like the woman with issue of blood for 12 years. What was the word she came with? If I can't just touch his clothes. And so, this one says, see, the Lord's, if you look at it, he's trying to discourage her, it seems. But what he's doing is he's building her faith. He's testing her faith. Are you wavering? Do you really want this one? like he asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, what do you want? God wants to know what you want. I mean, stop whining and tell him what you want. And so we used to have a sign in our Christian school there, whining has that diagonal mark across it, you know, stop whining. And so he said to her, for this same go your way, the devil's gone out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid on the bed. She was at peace. Mark 10:46, and they came to Jericho, and as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard, there it is again, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, say, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me. Don't be afraid to cry out. I just want to say this with all love. If you haven't cried some tears over what you're wanting, I don't know how bad you want it. He cried out. It's okay to get loud about it. It's okay to get loud about it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And many charged him that he should hold his peace or be quiet, but he cried the more a great deal. There we see the faith busters again, but it didn't deter him. He just cried out the louder. That's what we need to do. You son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calls you. Oh, you can have good comfort when the Lord calls you. And he, casting away his garment, rose. I don't need that beggar's garment anymore. That's faith, folks. Well, I better keep this just in case it don't work. I better keep those pills up there. I better keep that crutch. I better keep something. I better keep, you know. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just telling you. You know, this is the way I feel about it. Somebody came to me and said, I'm facing a very serious situation. The doctor says I need to have surgery. I wouldn't tell them, oh, don't have surgery. Brother, believe God. Unless I would say this, if you have the faith, believe God. If you don't, you better go make that appointment. And I need to say this too. And this is difficult, and some may just screaming. Your children, if you want to have faith for yourself, that's your business. But when it comes to your children, and it, maybe it's a life or death situation, you have some responsibility there. You understand what I'm talking about? Don't bring a reproach on God and on people of faith. Because you want to believe. See, there's some people, it's a forced faith. You understand what I'm saying? Or sometimes what people think is faith is, I'm going to set up a situation or I'm going to push it to this and I'm going to make God do something. But God doesn't answer that kind of thing. He does not answer. He answers a broken heart, a contrite spirit. Well, faith is what he answers. And he cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, what will you that I should do for you? Well, he's blind, Lord. No, he wants you to tell him. He wants you to verbalize what you need. Be specific. We've heard that. The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He said, well, Lord, people laugh at that because I'm blind. No, I want to receive my sight. Go after the root of your problem. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Luke 7:37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus, there you go again, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the anointment. Ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden Jesus, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for he's a sinner. You know, the song says, touching Jesus is all that matters. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor, and I'll just tell you, they owed two. One owed a whole large amount, 500. The other owed 50, and they had nothing to pay. He forgave them. And then Jesus asked which one's going to love him the most. And Simon answered, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most, he said to him, you have rightly judged. Now here, and he turned to the woman, and he said to Simon, see you this woman? I entered into your house, you gave me no water for my feet. But she's washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. This is getting off the subject here a little bit, but I want to tell you folks, when's the last time you washed his feet with your tears? And when's the last time you dried them with the hair of your head while you're weeping? When's the last time you spent some money on some ointment and put it on his feet? You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. Scripture says, kiss the king, lest he be angry with you. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to you, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she is loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? Now he does not answer that. Some things you don't need to answer. I said, some things you don't need to answer. I got myself in a lot of trouble doing that. And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Praise God. You know what? I'm going to stop there. I've told you what faith is. And if the Lord lets me and I preach again, I might tell you what faith is not. I don't know. But that's enough tonight. That's enough tonight. Will you stand to your feet, please? Oh, God. There's people here tonight that you came and you need a touch from God. Did you know it really doesn't matter what the situation is? Did you know it doesn't really matter? I said, do you know it doesn't really matter? And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the household of faith or not. You say, oh, you can't say that God only heals Christians. No, you better look at that again. Better look at that word again. But if you come tonight and you need help, you are crying out to God like blind Bartimaeus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, let faith rise in hearts tonight. Let faith rise in hearts tonight. I didn't get to talk about waiting on God so much. And I don't know. But you know, it's His timing. And maybe tonight it's His. Maybe it's time. Maybe this is it tonight. You say, well, I don't know if it's time, so I'm not going to respond. No, come and see if it's time. Come and see if it's time. How much faith do I have to have? Jesus said, faith is a grain of mustard seed. That's very small, folks. And another place he said that if we are faithless, yet he remains faithful. Amen? The man with the boy that was demon-possessed, and he said, Lord, if you can do anything, heal my son. The Lord said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And then he cried out and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I want to tell you tonight, there is not a secret place on the faith gauge that works. You hear me? His faith is a grain of mustard seed. Maybe it's just faith enough to walk up to the front here. We're going to call people that want prayer in a minute up the front. Maybe it's just enough faith to walk up here. Maybe it's enough faith to try one more time. Maybe it's not perfect faith. And the devil's telling you because you don't have perfect faith, God's not going to do anything for you. That's a lie. That man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Well, he didn't believe. But he said what he needed to say. You understand? He said what he needed to say. He said, Lord, help my unbelief. And maybe that's where we need to start at, is asking God to help our faith. And then move over to bringing our request to him. I know one thing, we serve a merciful God. a kind God, a loving God, that delights in healing the sick, and He delights in casting devils out, and He delights in whatever it is He wants. He'll feed people. He's compassionate. He's loving. And He wants to help us tonight, every one of us. Oh, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. If you have a need tonight, would you, and you want to come, and you'll come in faith, whatever amount of faith you have, you'll just come. It could be tonight. I don't know. But if you feel like it could be, would you come and stand? And we want to come by and pray for you. And believe God with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just come. Thank you, Jesus. This could be your night. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm going to start with these. If you want to come, you come. I'm going to say this. You can even stand back there and believe God and see God answer prayer. But I do believe there's really something to it in the obedience and coming, because this is... And having hands laid on you. Praise God. And virtue. I'm going to say this tonight. And I'm going to say it in faith. In boldness. Such as I have, I give to you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.